our series through the 12th chapter of Proverbs. We've actually been at this for quite a while. We've been just steadily working our way through the book, and after we finish this verse, we'll take a break for a while, probably until next fall, and then we'll pick it up again once we start having our regular evenings again, week in and week out. But Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Let's hear now the word of our God. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and kindness unto us in giving us your word. That those of us, Father, we who are fools by our fallen nature and by our own choice, might learn wisdom. That we might turn from folly to wisdom and to seek you. So this night, as we come seeking wisdom, Father, do your work by speaking to us through your word and by your spirit, and bringing us to the wise one, the Lord Jesus himself, and conform us into his image. Teach us how to live wisely in his kingdom, that we might glorify him. Be with your servant, guard his mind and tongue, that he may only declare that which is true according to your word. And as your word is set forth and explained, may your name be exalted, and may your church be strengthened. In the name of our Lord, we ask this. Amen. Where is life to be found? People search for the fountain of youth. People look for some kind of pill that'll cure death. But we learn here in the Word of God that there's only one way to overcome death, and that's through walking the path of righteousness. What I want to consider this evening is just, what is this path of righteousness? Where does one find one? Find it. What does it look like to walk in the path of righteousness? And what does it mean that in the end there is no death? Let's consider just the proverb itself. It's one that has actually been echoed a few other times, or we could say is an echo of earlier proverbs that we looked at, where it talks about seeking wisdom, and in wisdom is to be found life. As we've seen that the way of wisdom leads to life, there's the labor of the wise man brings life, and the labor of the wicked brings death. But here in chapter 28, the writer ties all the things up in this chapter. He says, in the way of righteousness is life. And then instead of giving the opposite, as he has often done, giving the one the positive and the negative, now he builds upon the positive and says, and in its pathway, there is no death. What is the way of righteousness? What does it mean to walk in the way of righteousness? Well, a way or a path, in the Hebrew understanding, is similar to the way we use this phrase. We'll talk about someone living as a way of life. That it's not a physical location. There's not a road we could find somewhere that is literally the pathway to heaven. We don't need to go look around the world and find some kind of tunnel that there is, or some kind of road that's hidden on some mountaintop somewhere where you physically traverse to get to God. The way of righteousness is a pathway set forth by God of a way of life, a way of living. Well, where do we find that? We find that in the Word of God. That it's the Word of God that sets forth the pathway in which we are to walk. The Word of God sets forth only two pathways in which anyone can walk. Either in the way that leads unto life, the pathway of the righteous, or in a way that leads to death. And the Lord Jesus says clearly, the pathway of the righteous, the way to life, is narrow. The way to death is very broad. You know, there's a saying among people that all roads lead to the same place. So, you know, all religions, all ways of life, in the end, everything finds God. They're almost right. There are many paths that all lead the same way, but they all lead to destruction. There's many paths that lead to death, that all, in the end, are funneling to the same place. There's only one path that leads to life, and that's the path of righteousness. It's set forth in the Word of God. That first, in the way of obedience. God gives us the law that the man who lives by these, who does these things, or lives in them, or practices, will live. Our problem is that we don't keep the Word of God perfectly. That on our own, we can't walk in the way of righteousness that leads to life. Because we all fall short. That's what Scripture tells us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If anyone says they have no sin, they're a liar, and they make God to be a liar. So is this way closed up for us? This way of obedience,
following the path set forth in the law of God that shows us how we ought to live? Is this a dead end for us? And it's truly a dead end that leads in death to death, that ends in death, because none of us could walk it perfectly, by no means. Because what the Word of God does, what this pathway to righteousness does, is it leads us to the end of ourselves. We say it leads us to see that we can't get there on our own, that we can't earn life on our own. What the law of God ultimately does for us is show us our need of a Savior. In other words, the road, the pathway of righteousness, ultimately leads us to Jesus. It shows us that we need a Savior. It shows us that we need, as the Apostle Paul talks about, an alien righteousness. A righteousness of God that's outside of us, that can make us right with God. So the road of righteousness, walking by the law of God, following the precepts of God, instead of earning life for us at first, brings us to what at first seems like a dead end. It brings us to the end of ourselves. It brings us to where we see we can't earn this. We can't keep this path properly. We're constantly walking off of it. But where it leads us to ultimately in the end is to Jesus. To the one who has walked the path for us. And that's what Jesus could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Ultimately, the path of the righteous brings us face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it takes an odd turn again. Because instead of it coming to Christ, say, "Well, now I've found life. This is righteousness. All I need is this Jesus who's walked the path of righteousness for me. So I don't have to do anything." So in other words, I can live my life however I want now. Because in Him, who this path has led me to, it's shown me my need. Now that I've come to Christ and have been forgiven in Him, now I can live whatever kind of lifestyle I want until the last day when He comes and takes me home. No. Because now we're still called to walk on the pathway of righteousness. But now it's as we're enabled to by Christ. He gives us His Spirit so that now we can continue to walk in His ways. Listen to Romans chapter 6 and consider this in terms of what we've just been talking about, this road. We have come to Christ. The road of righteousness, following the law of God, has brought us to an end of ourselves. It's brought us to the point where we say, we are sinners, we've fallen short. I can't gain life by the law of God, by keeping it myself. So I see I need to come to Jesus. And that's what Romans 5 leads us to. In Romans 6, the question comes up then, okay, if I find in the path of righteousness, the way that leads life, I find Jesus, I find that He's the one, He's the path of life, how shall I live then? And that's what Romans 6 begins to answer. It says this: "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? It says, may it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been baptized, buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For that death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be your master over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. See how Paul sets this up. He says he's proclaiming the gospel. He's talking about how we can't be saved by our own good works, by keeping the law. In other words, we can't walk down the pathway of righteousness to gain life because we stumble, we fall, we go aside. But we come to Jesus, and He is now the way. He has done all that is necessary for us. He has obeyed perfectly, and He has died to pay the penalty of our straying from Him. So in Him we have life. But He doesn't say, now go and live by your own way. Now go live your life however you want, because Jesus is taking care of everything. He says, no. Before, you couldn't walk in righteousness because of your sin. But now, having come to Christ, you are no longer a slave to sin. Now you can walk in the path of righteousness. Will you walk in the path of righteousness perfectly now? No. But can you walk in it? Yes. So he says, no longer offer yourselves as slaves to sin. Now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness. Walk in that way. For therein is life. And that brings us back to our problem. When we walk in the pathway of righteousness, what we see is our own failure. We see our need for Christ. So we come to Christ as the one who is truly the way, the truth, and the life. We find forgiveness of our sins in Him. But in Him we also find the ability now to go on in the path of righteousness, to seek to obey God, not seeking to earn our salvation, but living out the ramifications of our salvation. That Jesus doesn't just save us from the penalty of sin, but He saves us from the power of sin. So now we are enabled more and more to walk according to His Word. We can't use the work of Jesus as an excuse for us to live in sin. But we use it as our motivation for why we ought to stay in the paths of righteousness. For therein is life. Sin always brings destruction. Even for a Christian. Even for somebody who's been forgiven in Jesus. When we go back and try to go back and live in our old sinful ways, what we find is destruction. Many a Christian's life has been cut short because of that. So, well, I've come to Christ, I'm forgiven, and then they long for the good old days, back when they're doing being in sinful activities with their friends or whatever, and they go back just to see if they can try it for a while, and they see they've been destroyed. How many times have we seen stories of ministers or whatever getting caught up in all kinds of sin, destroying their life, destroying their family, others who have actually physically lost their lives. Others who have made a train wreck of their lives. Because they wanted to play that game of, I could walk with Jesus, but not walk in the way of life. Not walk in the path of righteousness. We can't do it. If we've come to Jesus, we must walk how He walked. We walk with Him. And what is the pathway in which Jesus walks? The pathway of righteousness. And it ends in life. And what do we mean by life? And that where it reminds you, it gives, that it says, at the end of which there's a pathway to life, and there is no death in it. Because when we walk in God's ways, through Christ we are victorious. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. Death has lost its power over us. Sure, there will be a day for each one of us that the Lord tarries when our bodies will be placed in the ground. But as D.L. Moody said once, he said, someday you'll read in the paper, Moody is dead. He said, don't believe it, because in that day I'll be more alive than I ever was before. There's a time when this body will disintegrate. But it just rests in the grave until the day of the resurrection, where Christ will raise us up. But the moment our eyes close in death in this life, we are with our Lord to where death can never touch us again. For us, death becomes just a momentary transition point, going from this life to the life to come. And that's why the accent in this way of following the path of life, finding Jesus in this path, being saved by Him, being redeemed by Him, and then walking on in that path, what is at the end? Life. In which there is no death. Where death is banished forever. And that's why the Christian can rejoice with the Apostle Paul saying, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? There is none for those who walk on the pathway of the righteous. Who walk in God's ways. Finding Jesus therein, or rather being found by Jesus. and walking with Him, stumbling along, yes, but still walking with Him in the paths of righteousness, making the law of God the light to their path. And in the end, it brings them right through the valley of the shadow of death, in which they have nothing to fear because He is with them. And it brings them to victory on the other side. We all ultimately want life. Life is not to be found in some foreign country. It's not to be found in some pharmaceutical product or some major new surgery they could come up with. Life is found by walking in the pathway of righteousness, by living according to the law of God. When we live according to the law of God, the first thing we realize is, I can't live according to the law of God. I'm unable. So this pathway leads us to Jesus. But then Jesus, taking us as we are in our sin, forgives us. And He doesn't place us on another path or tell us to go our own way. He puts us back on the path and says, now. Now live like you couldn't before. Now obey me, not trying to earn life, but having received life as a gift. Live out that life by living according to the Word of God. Because the Word of God will protect you from death. And staying on that narrow path will protect you from evils that are greater than physical dangers. It's those things that would endanger your soul. And staying on that narrow path, walking with your Lord, you will find life. And death will have no power over you for all eternity. May each one of you be found, as the wise man of prophets, be found walking in the paths of righteousness. Not being seduced into other paths that may look easier, may look more entertaining, more exciting, but staying on the path of righteousness, making the Word of God your guide. And walking that pathway, may each of you find Jesus. May you find you come to an end of yourself and your need for a Savior, and finding Him as a Savior. May you find yourself back on the path of righteousness, but now as one who has been made alive from the dead, one who is now able to walk in God's path and know life and enjoy life and life eternal in Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for when we've tried to make our own way in the world. Forgive us, Father, for our folly in thinking that there's ways outside of your own that would be more exciting or less demanding, more pleasurable, with better company. Forgive us for our foolishness, Father. Help us to be a people who walk in the paths of righteousness. And as we walk in the paths of righteousness and we set your law before us, may we see, first and foremost, our own inability to stay in this path. May we see our need for a Savior. And find in Christ the Savior that we need. And then having come to Christ and placed back on the path of righteousness, now as renewed people, may we, by the power of your Spirit, each day walk in the paths of the righteous, walking and living according to your will, out of gratitude for your mercy. And may we walk in this way, Father, rejoicing as we go, knowing that in this path is life. And in it, there is no death. And thus, may we live to the praise of your glorious face. In your wondrous name we pray. Amen.